makes his way to the pulpit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Brother Putnam has preached here quite a bit since he has become full-time superintendent. They have attended services here quite a bit. We're just thrilled that he is able to travel full-time, but also we're thrilled when he comes here and we can. A warm welcome, would you? Brother Putnam, we love you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. I think everybody ought to say amen. Hallelujah. I am thrilled to be here at Calvary Gospel Church tonight. I was just planning on coming here and sitting with you all. And he said, well, why don't you preach for us? So, you know what? I love to preach. So I didn't said, oh, well, I don't have to. He said, no. But I was glad he kept on urging me to do so. So I'm glad to be here. Glad to be with all of you. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Ours was very fulfilling. And we had a great time. My wife fixed a tremendous meal. Then I went for a walk with my daughter and son-in-law for 3 miles after dinner. Came home and ate 2 pieces of pumpkin pie. So, what a diet plan. Amen. Hallelujah. Certainly appreciate Brother and Sister Grant. And he's telling the truth. We really are good friends. Brother Grant has been my pastor since I've been in here in Wisconsin, and been my overseer, and technically and officially my son is now my pastor. Well, that's an interesting relationship. Hey, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. More than anything tonight, I would just truly love to see the presence of God touch each and every one of us. You know, you can preach, you can teach, you can do a lot of things. And of course, we recognize that it's not really in the messenger, it is really in the message. And I just trust tonight that to someone, to all of us, that we would just take heed to the word of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Now, I don't know about you, but we're living in the generation today that we need patience, and we want it now. But he says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You're hearing this evening, I want to preach tonight on this subject. Determined to be a finisher. Determined to be a finisher. Would you put your Bibles down? Would you lift up your hands to the Lord? And would you just ask this presence of God to speak to your heart tonight? Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. I thank you for your word and its power. And I recognize tonight, God, that it's not me, but it is, dear Lord God, through the power of your word, that will indeed bring faith to those that are willing to hear and to obey. I ask God your greatness and you to be praised and you to be glorified. And we ask God for your results in the marvelous, powerful name that is above all names. At the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody said in Jesus' name. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you clap your hands to the Lord? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Now turn to somebody, look him straight in the eye, smile real big, and say, I'm determined to be a finisher. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you may be seated. An English language novelist by the name of Anita Bruckner gave this quote, life is not simply a series of exciting new ventures. The future is not always a whole new ballgame. There tends to be unfinished business. One carries all sorts of things around with them, things that simply won't be got rid of. We call it the past. We define it as baggage, or simply refer to it as a ball and chain. But the statement is true. An unrepentant human being carries a load of guilt and shame around with them 24/7. Ever wanting to be set free, ever wanting to have peace around them, but seemingly always falling short of reaching the desired goal. Ever failing to cross that finish line of being set free of that which was tormented them throughout their life, except they find Jesus. Even a born-again child of God, if we are not careful, can pick up those same burdens of inward sin and woe that we once laid at the foot of the cross, and it becomes a hindrance and demise in our walk with Christ. The Apostle Paul said it to the church, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, everybody say us, that's you and I, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author, everybody say author, and finisher, everybody say finisher, of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. A man named John Akwari from Tanzania some years ago competed in a marathon held in Mexico City. During the race, John fell. And he badly cut his knee and he dislocated the joint of his leg. And though injured and visibly hurt, he got up and he continued trying to run. And he finished dead last among the 57 competitors who completed the race, even though 75 had started. The winner of the marathon, Mamo Wuldi of Ethiopia, finished in 2 hours, 20 minutes, and 26 seconds. John Akwari finished in 3 hours, 25 minutes, and 27 seconds. And when John finally entered the stadium, there was but just a few thousand people left, and the sun had already set. And as he finally crossed the finish line, a moderate cheer came from the small crowd. And when interviewed later and asked why he continued running, he said, and I quote, "My country did not send me 10,000 miles just to start the race. They sent me to finish the race." And can I say here this evening, to somebody who is struggling in your walk with God, to somebody who is facing insurmountable challenges right now in your life and faith, you must determine to be a finisher of this race for eternity called life. Can I just say it bluntly? Be a finisher. You know, the Word of God is fair in its approach of describing both men and women of Scripture. It tells us of those who started their race for God and then didn't finish the race at all. I know in my short 40 years of living for God, I have seen those that have started and have got out of the race. And yet at the same time in Scripture, we see those, or we read of those who did start out for God and they finished their life race well. And I have been at many a funeral of good saints of God that I am sure it was well with their soul. And because we know that the Word of God is true, and we know and understand that God is not interested in anyone being lost. How many believe that? I'm saying no one. Jesus Christ has made the way. The way that all mankind can be saved. He has made it possible for all of us to be a finisher. All of mankind is in this race. I don't care who we are, yet each of us may be on a different track within the overall race. Each track having different circumstances and situations that confront and challenge every one of us. For Noah, it was the race of finishing his course. By finding grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord had Noah build a seaworthy vessel called the ark. Now, we in our age may snicker at such a project that involved countless numbers of animals being brought on board that ark. But the truth of the matter is, Noah finished his God-given responsibility in building that boat. And it didn't matter the teasing by his peers of that hour, nor the ridicule of unbelievers. All Noah knew was the voice of God had spoke to him, and he was determined to be obedient in completing the task assigned. Noah was a finisher. He was determined to do so. Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter and the 11th verse, the writer says, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all." What the author is saying is that time and life itself is unpredictable. I found out a long time ago that life is not fair. Every one of us in here did not volunteer to be born. We were conceived out of love and indeed brought into this world. And how important it is for every parent to understand that that little child that dwells in your house is more than just a cutie or a handsome little devil. It's more than just that. It is an eternal soul, amen, that is on a race and is heading in one direction or another. And my friend, I'm telling you, amen, we don't understand all the hurdles that we face along our life-given course. Another may face something completely different than you and I face. But what is important is how we finish.
Thus, you and I have to be determined to be a finisher. Jesus is a finisher. He knew his mission, and he followed it through to the cross of Calvary. And there, hanging on a cross, not a pretty sight, my friend, being crucified in the midst of religious hypocrisy and a timid, frightened group of his own believers, Jesus endured the crucifixion when he had received the vinegar. The Bible says in John 19 and 30, he says, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. What was finished? The very purpose for which he was born. Don't you want to do the very purpose for why you were born? Huh? I don't know what it is, but I know that even my own life, long before I got saved, there was something within me that was drawn to, amen, the supernatural. I was not brought up in the church, amen, but I can remember Brother Grant as a little boy going out on the farms, on the farm hills there in Kentucky, on my aunt and uncle, great uncle's farm, and I'd kill these ants, and then I'd hold a funeral for them. Now, does that sound like a normal 10-year-old? Kind of sounds sadistic, doesn't it? But I've got to be convinced that in each and every one of us, God has placed something in our hearts. God has placed something deep down inside. And I know that it's been pressed down. It's been indeed smothered by habits and sins of things of the past. But I'm telling you, if we'll just allow ourselves to get to the finisher of our faith, if we'll get to our Jesus Christ, that he's made the way, amen, that he gives us an opportunity to become a finisher. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. You see, he bridged the gap between a holy God and sinful man by offering himself as the sacrifice for all of mankind. And he finished his purpose by making a way for you and I to be those finishers in this race for everlasting life. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 12, he says, "And because iniquity shall abound." My friends, we're living it today. On every angle, it's there. We don't have to even seek for it. We always see it. The love of many shall wax cold. But he, everybody say, but he that shall, amen, endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Do we have any endurers in the house tonight? I mean, you nutty people, you come to church 3 or 4 times a week. What's wrong with you? I don't know of any sport on the planet that you don't have to be conditioned for, that you don't have to exercise for. You just don't get on a basketball court and do your thing. You just don't go on a football field and do your thing. And you're not going to go to heaven without indeed some conditioning of prayer and reading the Bible and being involved in the kingdom of God. I want to be a finisher. That's why each and every day, everybody say daily.
Daily.
We daily need to take heed about our daily walk, our daily talk, and our daily outlook. You see, we need to walk by faith. Everybody say faith.
Faith,
faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11 and 1. And we need to learn to walk regardless of what we are feeling. We need to understand that God's word is forever settled in glory. And when he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, you need to believe that he will never leave you or forsake you. No matter how we feel, he is with us till the end of the age. He is a finisher, and he wants you and I to be one as well. Look on the screen or on your Bible to Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 1. Let us therefore fear, phobia in Greek, which means to frighten, that is passively to be alarmed, by analogy to be in awe of, or that is revere. Be sore afraid, fear exceedingly, or reverence. Let us therefore fear, have reverence, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You see, I am convinced that even as Pentecostals, that we can come to church, service in and service out, and hear a lot of preaching. Matter of fact, I would dare say that most people in this room right now know more about the Word of God than you ever have in your entire life. And you know more about the Word of the Lord more than probably 90% of the people outside of these doors. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. And folks, it won't profit us either unless we mix it with faith that we really believe it. And the only way that the people will see that we really believe it is we practice it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Everybody say rest. Rest. Sounds good, doesn't it? As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Now look at the remainder of this verse. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. What works? The plan of salvation, the coming of a Savior, a man that we would call the God-man, Jesus Christ, both God and man, God, Spirit in flesh, the Son, and giving that lifeblood on Calvary's cross for every one of us. My friends, that is the work. And then to be buried in a borrowed grave only 3 days later to be rose again from the dead. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. And our identification with that in the good news of repentance and baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of our sins, and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Is there any participants in these works tonight? Amen. Those works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would be not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Well, what does all that mean? Before I got saved, Brother Grant, this weird guy, I used to read my Bible before I got saved. I would try to read a chapter every night, just as a kid, in my bed. Now, folks, I didn't understand a word I was reading, but I tried to read it. Matter of fact, I would wake up sometime the next morning with the Bible still open and spread on my bed, amen, where I fell asleep during my reading. Because I didn't understand it. That's why it's so important for us to have the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. Because you see, when you get the Spirit of God on the inside of us, then you've got the very author, amen, of that word that you're now reading. And it now begins to make sense as to what you're reading. And that's why when you got the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden the Bible seemed to come alive to you. Because you now have the author and the finisher of your faith inside of you. But see, I was reading because I knew I was a sinner. I knew what I was doing was wrong. But see, I was trying to make an appeasement with God. I was doing it as some kind of a work, Brother Russell. In other words, and folks, a lot of us were down that lane. The thing is, when we come into the church, you can't live for God like that in the church. Because somewhere along the line, you got to recognize that it's not about just you doing religious things. It's about you indeed being born again. And because now it's not because I got to go to church, it's because I want to go to church. I'm not reading the Bible because I got to. I'm reading the Bible because I want to. I'm not talking and testifying about Jesus Christ because I have to. I'm doing it because I want to. I am resting. I'm resting in the kingdom of God. Oh, clap your hands unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Do we have any finishers out there? Let us labor, verse 11, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Right into verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How many of you, when you first started coming to church, maybe still it is this way, and you were questioning about something in the scripture or in your own life, and when you first started coming and you came to a service and all of a sudden the preacher got up and just preached exactly what you were questioning, huh? Can I get a witness here? You don't tell me God doesn't love you? What was it? Well, it was because, amen, and this is not derogatory, it's not because of Brother Grant or Brother Putnam or any other minister. We are just the messengers. We are the mailmen. But I'll tell you what it is. It is the Spirit of God working on the heart of the vessel, of the messenger, and coming forth with the Word of God. And that Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it gets right into where we need it. And if we respond to it and believe it. Everybody say, believe it. Then indeed we are going to find rest in our soul. Jesus Christ, through the power of his word, has given us the means whereby we can finish. And all of us can finish well. Not in the power of our own works, but in the confidence of his finished work at Calvary. And giving us the gift himself, of himself, the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know about you, but the Holy Ghost has meant everything different in my life. And you're not looking at a perfect man. No, I'm not perfect. I'm complete in Christ. Isaiah 28 verse 11 was the prophecy. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest. Everybody say, the rest. Wherewith we may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. You see, we are complete in him. We are sealed with his Holy Spirit of promise. And with that promise, we can, by his grace, endure to the end. Crossing that finish line with the peace of God abiding in our hearts. 1952, a lady by the name of Florence Chadwick, a profound swimmer, attempted to swim the 26 miles between Catalina Island and the California coastline. As she began, she was flanked by small boats that watched for sharks and were prepared to help her if she got hurt or grew tired. After about 15 hours of swimming, can you imagine? After about 15 hours, a thick fog set in. And Florence began to doubt her ability. And she told her mother, who was in one of the boats, that she didn't think she could make it. That should tell us something, folks. You got to have it in your heart, not just in your emotions. You got to have it in your heart that you're going to make it. By God's grace, you're going to make it. Turn to your neighbor and say that to him. By God's grace, you're going to make it, Mark. By God's grace, you're going to make it. By God's grace, Leonardsons, you're going to make it. She swam for another hour before asking to be pulled out of the water. The reason why, she was unable to see the coastline due to the fog. And as she sat in the boat, she found out she had stopped swimming just 1 mile away from her destination. 2 months later, Chadwick tried again. This time it was different. Oh, the same thick fog set in. But she made it because she said that she kept a mental image of the shoreline in her mind while she swam. My point in sharing Chadwick's story is this. You and I can't see the shoreline of heaven either. But this race has never been about feeling or sight. It has always been and will always be about faith. Why? Because we already have, church, the finish line living inside of us. If you have the Holy Ghost. Remember, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. We've got the finish line on the inside. Yeah. That's what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he wrote to his son in the Gospel of Timothy. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have what? Finished. Read it with me. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Not a faith, the faith. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. I believe that there is only one God. I believe that there is only one Savior. I believe that there is only one gospel. I believe that there is only one baptism. I believe indeed that there is only one way to get to glory, and it is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Paul said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. That would have been a wonderful read if we just stopped right there. But it is just spectacular, because Paul says, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And to the church at Philippi, Paul wrote in Philippians 1:3, he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And that may have been 1 week, that may have been 1 month, that may have been 1 year, that may have been 1 decade, 4 decades, 7 decades, being confident, everybody say confident, of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Stand with me. I read of an account of another runner by the name of Colin Smith. Please listen very carefully here to the end. Colin was a young teen when he was caught by the police in England for robbing a bakery. And he was then sentenced to be confined in Ruxton Towers, a prison school for delinquent youth. He was taken there in handcuffs and detained in bleak and highly restrictive circumstances. His only solace about being at that prison school was in long distance running. And the more that he did so, he attracted the notice of the school's authorities for his physical prowess and his quickness and speed in running. You see, long distance running offered Smith a welcome distraction from the brutal drudgery of the prison school's daily regimen, and he was offered the prospect of an early release if he won in an important cross-country competition against a prestigious public school. For Ruxton Towers to win the cross-country race would have been a major PR boost for the establishment. And for Colin Smith, it was an obvious incentive to cooperate, because he would get out of his sentence early. However, when the day of the race arrived, Colin threw victory away. For after speeding ahead of the other runners, he deliberately stopped running just a few feet short of the finish line. Even though he was well ahead and could easily have won the race. Seconds ticked by as Smith stood there, in full view of the amazed race spectators who were shouting at him to finish the race. Go, Colin, go! However, he deliberately let the other runners from the other school pass him and cross the finish line, thereby losing the race. In a defiant gesture aimed against his prison school captors and the repressive forces that they represented to him. Yes, church, with the finish line in full view, he determined that he would not cross it because he was determined to get back at the institution that had incarcerated him. What was it? He could have gotten an early release. He could have been a free man if he would have just been a finisher. But no, he allowed that unfinished business in his heart to prohibit him from gaining his freedom. The baggage of his heart would not allow him to cross the line and be a finisher. He felt he had to get even with the institution that he was confined to. Can I appeal to you this evening, Calvary? I don't care what it is you're trying to carry in this race. That which has slowed your progress. That which has stolen your joy. That which has caused you to become negative and sharp with others. Can I admonish you as Peter wrote in his general letter to the church, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let it go. I said, let it go. Get rid of it today. Cast your care upon him right now and let him lift you up. Let him overwhelm you with his peace once again. And let the Prince of Peace rule and reign in your heart that you might have rest. And get up in your attitude and spirit and keep on running and be determined that you're going to be a finisher. Can I tell you this evening that there is a whole lot of hosts of witnesses that are cheering us on tonight and prompting each of us to finish our race in victory in Jesus. Amen. Being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Folks, God did not save us to just start this race. He did not give us his lifeblood on the cross for us just to make a start. He was not giving us his unchanging grace for us just to throw in the towel and quit. He did not robe himself in flesh and come to this world through Bethlehem's manger for you and I to be just a flash in the pan. He came that you and I would endure till the end, that each of us would cross the finish line and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Fight the good fight. Finish your course. Keep the faith. Lift up your head. Take a fresh look at the finish line. Continue in the race and finish well. I'm wondering tonight, are there any finishers in the house this evening? If you're a finisher tonight, then come forward and show forth your determination to be born again, receiving the rest of God in your receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, to be set free from unwanted baggage that you're encumbered with, or come forward to be healed and to be made whole. But whatever, be a finisher. Be a finisher all over this house. Would you lift up your holy hands? Would you lift up holy hands to God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's when I reach for my holy
help me, God, to be a finisher.
I take up my shield of faith.
Hallelujah.